Turn to Luke chapter 18 as we continue through the wonderful book of Luke. Can you guys handle 43 verses today? Yes. I don't know if I heard anybody say no. It wouldn't matter if you did. But 43 verses. Jim, ushers. So what we're going to look at today is seven encounters with Jesus. Wouldn't you love to have a personal encounter with Jesus? We can every single day. We do that. Somebody's dinging like that, wherever that is. Encounters with Jesus. I love looking at these. There's seven of them that we see, and it's a blessing that we can look at these. A lot of verses going to be moving through this as we continue to go through the book of Luke. But we're going to look at the parable of the persistent widow. Two parables we're looking at. Now, for those that may not know, a parable is a figure of speech. It could be a figure of speech in reference to something that actually took place, or it's just a story that was being illustrated for the reason that in this case, what the Lord has for it, and we'll see that. So parable of the persistent widow. We'll see another parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So what can we learn from those two parables? Very important for us today. Then we'll see Jesus blesses the little children. We'll see the disciples in an uproar, and Jesus chooses to bless those little children. What can we learn from that? Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. Very important lesson that we see in the midst of this encounter with Jesus, this rich young ruler had. With God, all things are possible is another area of scripture we see there. And then Jesus predicted his death for the seventh time in the Gospel of Mark. So it's not a hidden thing. He's telling them what is heading their way. And the last thing we'll look at is a blind man receives his sight. No small thing at all. So let's start verse 1, chapter 18 through 8. Let's read through these. It says, then he spoke a parable. Now, what we have is we have the heart of the parable, the, quote, interpretation of the parable, right here in the first verse, in the introduction of this parable. It says, and he spoke a parable to them. And here's, excuse me, the heart of the parable, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And so that's what we take from this parable, that you and I are always to pray and we're not to lose heart. Is it easy to lose heart in things? Certainly is. How many here have been praying for somebody in their family for a year that something would take place? Salvation maybe in their life. How many have been praying for somebody in their family for 5 years? Okay. How many for 10 years? How many for 15 years? How many for 20 years? You know? And so I know that we're still praying for people and all that. And so the encouragement we're going to see is not to lose heart. That's what men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, prayer comes in many forms. It's just speaking to God and listening to God. It's interceding on behalf of someone else. It's supplicating, bringing our own prayers before God in that way. So many different forms of prayer. Praise can be a type of prayer that we have. So Jesus is saying that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Verse 2 saying, here's the parable, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So he was a godless individual, according to this parable. Verse 3, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him. Now the tense of the original language means that she came often. She continued to come to him. So she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Something was going on, and maybe she was being treated unfairly, more than likely. And she kept going to this judge. And then verse 4, and it says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, I have no fear for God. I'm not going to do this because of God, nor do I regard man. I have no regard for man. He shouldn't have been in this position, obviously. Yet verse 5, he says, because this widow troubles me. Again, that would be translated, literally gives me a black eye. She was persistent, you know, and she was forceful. It could be translated, knock out my teeth. You know, I don't know if she actually did that, but that's trouble could mean that right there. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So he's all concerned about himself. Then the Lord said, now he takes this parable and he illustrates it here and brings the meaning even further. Hear what the just, unjust man, judge says. And shall God not avenge? Shall God not avenge his own elect, us as believers, who cry out day and night to him, though he hears long with them? He's patient. God is patient. He hears our prayers. It's not that he doesn't hear our prayers. He'll answer our prayer three ways. Number one, he'll say what? Yes. Number two, he will say no. And number three, he will say wait. That's how he answers. He always answers prayer because he hears prayer. Proverbs says he delights in the prayer of his saints. So when we speak to God in the name of Jesus, we are born again. We are his children. It delights. He has the delight in that. It's a powerful thing that he's given to you and I. So be encouraged. That's what this parable is teaching us, to continue to pray. Because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cried out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will deliver them according to his time. Nevertheless, when God, the Son of Man comes, very important, will he really find faith on this earth? The faith of the persistent prayer. He's teaching about persistent prayer here, and he encourages us not to lose heart. Do not lack courage. You know, the world wants us to lose heart, does it not? I mean, it's working real hard, the world system and everything that's going on. Anybody been discouraged in the last 2 years? Anybody besides me? Yes, I've been discouraged. It's just discouraging. I like the days of old, but it's changed. It's changed. And we have to be careful not to lose heart. So we take everything to prayer. And we've been praying. We're interceding. We're going to start on the last Sunday of every month at 6 a.m. We're going to have prayer time there. And I pray that you come and gather. We're going to continue to pray. And many have been praying. Do not lack courage. Do not give up in the midst of this. God will answer our prayers according to his timing. In Thessalonians, Paul said this, men ought to pray without ceasing. Women too. We all should pray without ceasing. Keep praying, keep praying, keep believing. If we don't see the answer, there's a reason for it. God is working out. It takes a long time to turn an aircraft carrier. Anybody been on an aircraft carrier? Anybody else? An aircraft carrier out to sea? Oh, okay. So an aircraft carrier out to sea, it's interesting. You know, they plan miles ahead of time when they want to turn that big boat. It takes a long time to do that. And it's an interesting thing. It really is. And that's the way it is with the hearts of men, the hearts of women. It takes time to change their hearts. And so we must not give up. Don't give up. Don't lose heart is what Jesus is saying. This means that we are to have a constant attitude of prayer. Always be in prayer. When we say we are unceasing in our prayer, it doesn't mean that we pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means we have an attitude of prayer. We're ready to pray. We're ready, whatever God would instruct us to do, to respond. Saint Augustine said this, if your desire is for prayer and your desire is without ceasing, your prayer will also be without ceasing. I'll say this again. If your desire is for prayer and your desire is without ceasing, your prayer also will be without ceasing. And so that's a promise. We'll do that. Attitude is very important. The world is trying to get us to lose heart in general, but as Christians specifically. There's a story. It's a true story about a man named Edmund Gravely who died at the controls of a small plane. He just had a heart attack and died at the controls of the plane. His wife was sitting next to him. She wasn't necessarily a pilot, but had been around a pilot enough to know what she should do. And so she was aloft for 2 hours trying to find a place to land and all that. As the plane crossed the South Carolina, North Carolina, into North Carolina, she radioed for help. Help, help, won't someone help me? My pilot is unconscious. Authorities who picked up her distress signal were not able to reach her by radio during the flight because she kept changing channels. She kept changing channels. What's the lesson to learn? Stay on the channel. Don't be, or to be persistent. Stay on that channel. It's very important. How often God's people cry out to him for help, but switch channels before his message comes through. We're not to do that. By the way, she landed the plane, crawled to safety, and she lived through the whole thing. But a great lesson there. We are to be persistent. Stay consistent. Persevere in our prayers. When believers do not persevere in so many ways, what truly happens is they lose heart and buy into the ways of the world and the enemy. And may I encourage us not to lose heart. Amen? So this parable teaches us to do what? That we just read. To pray, but what? Not to lose heart. And another word would be to be persistent in our prayers. Just an encouragement, simple encouragement Jesus is doing here. The second parable we see in verses 9 through 14. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. So we see the heart of this parable is addressing those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They thought they were more righteous. They were more religious. They had it together and others didn't. So he tells this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. That's a good thing for them to do. One, a Pharisee, leader of the religious people of Israel, and the other, a tax collector, hated by the people of Israel. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So in his heart, he speaks against this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest in remorse, saying, Lord God, be merciful to me. Which one do you think was heard? The tax collector. His attitude of there. He says, I tell you, verse 14, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So a simple lesson that we see here. The first parable illustrated the kind of faith God desires in prayer. Persistent prayer. While this parable here illustrates the kind of attitude a believer must have in prayer, true humility. Persistence in prayer, but yet we approach God in true humility. When the Pharisee was occupied with his self-righteousness, the tax collector was occupied with his sinfulness. There should not be any self-confidence, self-centeredness, or self-righteousness in our prayers to God. Simple lesson that he's teaching, but a very important lesson for each and every one of us. Then he teaches there here, verses 15 through 17, Jesus blesses little children, and we'll see why. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. In the original language, it means that these children were continually brought to him that he might bless them, that he would pray over them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. I don't know why. Maybe they had a bad day that day. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, verse 17, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. Now we need to understand what he is saying here, because notice again, assuredly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. Enter into where? Heaven. So what is Jesus saying here? It's very, very important that we understand what he's saying. The kingdom of God is characterized by simple faith. Faith as a child. Isn't the faith of a child sometimes amazing? Anybody ever get convicted by a little child, you know? I have many times. They just say the darndest things. Who was it that had the TV show? No, most of you guys wouldn't. Art Linkletter. How many remember Art Linkletter? How many don't? How many don't even care? the majority of you. But he would say, the children, something like this, say the darndest thing or something along that, and they do. But I love the faith of a child, don't you guys? If you just watch them and listen to them, you know, they're very literal. And so when you teach them the things of the Lord when they're young, you know, they'll prayerfully not turn away from that. Children also exemplify innocence. They exemplify dependence, openness, complete trust. Thus, those who want to press into the kingdom of God should have such an attitude concerning spiritual things. It takes faith to get into the kingdom of God. Amen? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes faith to get into the kingdom of God. Faith like a child. I've never seen Jesus. I've never heard an audible voice. But I know that I know, don't you? That to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. It truly does. And I know that he hears my prayer. And I thank him for that. Jesus was saying the only way one can enter the kingdom of God is to receive it in simple faith. Scripture says in Matthew, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God." I have yet in 40 some years walking with the Lord ever met a person that I would say that in reality they are able to go to heaven because of their intellect. I've never found it. I've met some very smart people, talked to very smart people that felt they had everything down about the kingdom of God, and they didn't, because it takes simple faith. It takes a disconnect. Not that we don't use our minds, but we can't depend on our minds and our righteousness and all that to get to heaven. It's simply by faith. Amen? Is that not true? It's simply by faith. And I thank the Lord for that. I just thank him for his grace and mercy in that way. Verses 18 through 23, as we're moving on here, we see Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. What can we learn from this? Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Is that not a great question? Don't you love that? How many have had a person come up and say, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" We need more of that, I can tell. We need a lot more of it. Let's start praying for that, okay? We need that. I've had that happen. And I'm going, yippee, inside. I don't do that right there. I go, yes. Let me tell you what you need to do to have eternal life. It's a beautiful thing. It truly is. So this guy, he's a ruler. He comes up to him, good teacher. He calls him a good teacher. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus pauses. He knows his heart. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." So what is he saying? He's saying the person that stands before you, you call me good, but you don't understand what you're saying. The only one that is good is God. And so Jesus is not saying that he's not good, because he is, because he's God. He's just communicating to this guy. The guy that's standing in front of you right now, the rich young ruler, that person is none other than me, the Messiah, and I am God. And then he says in verse 20, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal." He's going through 10 commandments right now. "Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." Commandments that we find, obviously, in the 10 commandments. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So whether he did or not, we know that from the bar mitzvah is what he's communicating, age 13, that he's kept these things. He's saying to Jesus, "I haven't committed adultery. I have not murdered a person, literally. I have not stole anything. I have not bore false witness, and I do honor my mother and father." And when Jesus heard these things, verse 22, he said to him, "You still lack one thing." Have you ever had Jesus do this to you? God do this to you? You know, he goes for that which is at the center of our hearts. I've had him do that. He wants everything. I found him to be a wonderful Lord, a loving God, but he wants everything in our life. And I rejoice. Two different times when he's taken away everything, I can literally say he took away everything. One time just lost everything, and the other time just got down to $50. Some of the happiest times in my life, because he was busy getting in there, and it was great, but it wasn't fun. Not fun, but great. So he says, all these things I have kept from my youth, Jesus said to him, you still lack one thing. He knew what was in his heart. And he says, sell all, notice all, not that portion, all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You would hope that this young rich ruler would say, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. But what's he say? Verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Very rich. Something to learn here is very, very important. But what a great question. As you know, the Bible teaches that eternal life is the gift of God, not something that can be achieved by works of the flesh. It's not a matter of money. It's by simply by faith that we see this. In Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it says this, now we know by whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. This young man felt that he could get into heaven by the law, and Jesus said, no way. It's going to have to be by faith. So any of us trying to do that, good works, it won't get there. Being a good moral person, it's good that we would do that. It's not going to get us into heaven. What gets us into heaven today? Simply Jesus and by faith. Alone, faith alone. All of you know that, but it's good to talk about that. Believers in Jesus have the promise of life by faith. Believers in Jesus have the hope of eternal life by faith. Believers in Jesus have the assurance of life by faith. And believers in Jesus will reign with Christ in his kingdom someday by faith. It's all by faith. Amen? So that's the lesson that we see there. Then these amazing verses 24 through 30. See, we're moving on pretty quickly, but yet learning the lessons. When Jesus saw, verse 24, that he, that was the rich young ruler, he saw that he rejected what Jesus was saying. He became, notice, God became very sorrowful. He said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Two different takes on this. One is that there was a city that would have this gate called the eye of the needle, and they'd have to take all the goods off the camels, and that was laborers. They'd have to bring the camel up there. They'd have to take all the goods off. They'd have to take the camel through, then bring the goods through by hand. Then on the other side, they put the goods back on, and it was a laborious job. So that was a hard thing. Some believe that's what Jesus is referring to. I more so just believe he's using a literal example that they would understand. Can a camel get through an eye of a needle? No, it's impossible. So he's just teaching him that. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who can be saved? Now, to really understand this, we have to go to Mark chapter 10, verse 24, where Jesus says this, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? So it isn't riches themselves, it's where our trust is. Person can have nice homes. Person can have a nice car. Person can have wealth and different retirements and all that. But the danger is when your dependence comes upon that. And that's what he's warning them about here. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. The prophet said in Psalms, we see that. So be careful. The things which are impossible with God or impossible with men are possible with God. Who can be saved? They cry out in verse 26. And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Praise the Lord for that. Truly? Praise the Lord. Then Peter said, see, we have left all, which is good, and followed you. And so then Jesus responds to that. Peter is just speaking the truth. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present life and in the age to come, eternal life. And so there is reward. We don't do anything so we can get a reward. But in that we give up as the Lord guides us and we surrender to him our lives. then we see that there is this reward here on this earth and in the future too. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Good works cannot secure an individual's salvation. The blood of Christ is the only provision God made for redemption of the human race. Amen? And that's how we get into heaven in that way. There's a true story about Sir Donald Malcolm Campbell. He was a British racer. He raced speedboats on the water. And years ago, he had a crash and the boat sunk. And the only thing that came to the surface was this little stuffed animal, which people knew was his good luck charm. And that good luck charm didn't do him any good at all. But our faith in Jesus will get us to heaven. We should not have our dependency on anything other than Jesus is the idea. The only thing that ever surfaced was a toy stuffed animal, Campbell's good luck charm, which was powerless to help him in the final and fatal crisis of his life. Faith is only as good as an object is able. With God, all things are possible. Amen? So Jesus just teaches that. All things are possible. Verse 31 through 34. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem." So that's where they were going. They're heading that direction. "And all things," notice, "all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished." So everything is going to be accomplished. He's saying that. And then verse 32, "For he will be delivered," he's speaking of himself, "to the Gentiles," number one. Number two, "will be mocked and insulted and spit upon." Number three, "they will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. They did not have the faith that was necessary for them to understand the truth. Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 18, says this, "No man takes," speaking of his life, "no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." So that's why it says, he will raise it again. So simple lesson there. And the last one we see, verses 35 through 43, watch how often faith is in the midst of this teaching here. "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David,'" that's a messianic title, "Son of David, 'have mercy on me.'" That's where we see faith, the first bit of faith we see in his life. You see the picture? Jesus is walking by. There's all kinds of people following him. He understands, though he's blind, something's going on. And they say that Jesus is here. He must have heard about Jesus. He knew his need. So he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. So they wanted him just to be quiet, not to bother the Messiah. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So again, we see faith again in the midst of the story. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord," notice the title, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Is that not faith? So in faith, he cries out to the Lord. And then verse 42, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole and made you well." How powerful is our faith in our lives today? And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Faith is important. Think of Hebrews chapter 11 now. Think of Abraham, faith. Think of Noah, by faith. Think of Mary, by faith. Think of all the people that we see, simply by faith. Can it be said of us? By faith. And that's encouragement. Faith is very, very powerful. Amen? So, seven encounters, very quickly, very simply. The first one was the parable of the persistent widow. What did we learn through the parable of the persistent widow? Perseverance. In our prayer, we're to persevere. Can we do that? Can we trust God, persevere, whatever's going on? Do not lose heart. I know the world is crazy. Is it not crazy right now? I mean, you can find, I mean, you read this and you go, And then I read this and I go, oh, that's the opposite of that and all that. You can hear anything you want to hear. I mean, you really can. It's just crazy in so many different ways. But stay close to Jesus. Do not lose heart because he's coming again. I don't know when it is, but I'm looking for him today. Okay? I'm looking for him today. And I pray that he comes. If he doesn't come today, when am I looking for him to come? Tomorrow. If he doesn't come tomorrow, when am I looking for him to come? The day after that. I don't want to lose heart. Do I ever lose heart? I do lose heart. Do I ever get down? I get down. I do all that. But I fight back because of the truth that's found in Scripture. By faith, we move. So the parable of the persistent widow taught us that persistent prayer is vital in our walks with the Lord. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, what did we learn there about prayer? Humility. Is that what you said? Couldn't hear it. Here we are taught that true humility is necessary in the eyes of the Lord. So persistent. We are to be persistent in our prayer. Keep praying for God's will. But with humility, we approach him. Jesus blesses the little children. What did we learn there? Here we are taught that childlike faith is required with God. Just simple faith. That's all it takes. A little mustard seed of faith can grow. That's all we have to do. And then Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. Here we are taught that trusting in the riches of this world will be a snare in our walks with God. It will not take us through. It has to be totally by faith. And with God, all things are possible. Here we are taught that God can do anything, and we are to live our lives in Christ with that understanding. He can do anything. He can do whatever he wants. We just have to find what he's doing and then join him and then walk with that because he is God. And then Jesus predicted his death for the seventh time. What do we learn there? It's all predicted. It's not by surprise that he went to the cross. Isaiah 52, 53, Genesis chapter 3, we see that Jesus would have to die, even all the way back through that. And then lastly, Jesus predicted his death, a blind man receives his sight. Here we are taught that our faith will make us whole. Amen? So seven simple lessons. Got them all down? But they'll change our lives. Let's pray. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these verses that you have given us this morning. We thank you for the simplicity of your word and the examples that we are to hold on to. Lord, help us to persist. I want to pray for us today that we would persist and not lose heart. I pray that you would work in our hearts in such a way that we would come boldly, but yet with humility. I pray that our faith would be as a little child, that we could believe that you could do anything, that nothing is impossible with you. We would believe that, Lord. And we just thank you for the other things that we are taught so simply in Scripture. We love you. We thank you. And bless us, Lord, for your glory. Keep us safe in the midst of a crazy world and use us, Lord. Help us to reach out. The world is looking for you, maybe in ways like never before, but I know that they need you. As things get more and more close to the end times, Lord, help us never to lose heart. Help us not to be discouraged, to fight through that, and to come to know that you hold this whole universe in your hand. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.